Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Today, we are continuing our series on countering culture with the first of a two-part episode on social media. Andrew Warnes joins the show once again to talk about using social media for the glory of God. What are some of the benefits of social media? When should I take a break? That's what we'll be discussing on part one of our episode. I'm Tyler Wall, and you're listening to Road Trips. All right, Andrew Warnes, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, sir. I'm honored to be on here.
Yeah, the inaugural guest has returned. So we are continuing our series on countering culture and living a countercultural life. And last week we talked about rage and anger culture. And this week we're going to talk about social media. I thought we'd just get the two ones that make people the most angry. I just thought we'd just get them out of the way and just go with it.
Perfect.
I have always appreciated how you go about social media. I know you said you don't post as much as you used to, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But I've always appreciated how you go about social media because it's a good mix of here's what's going on in my life. Here's maybe something even funny. And then also here's this excerpt from a spiritual book that I've been reading or a Bible verse or something that's just really encouraging. So I've always appreciated the way you go about social media. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts. What's your thoughts behind social media or what goes into what you post, what you share, that kind of thing?
Thanks, man. So I'm going to start from the top, which is an absolute apology to your audience, because as you mentioned, like me and social media, like I'm still on it. Don't get me wrong, but like our my relationship has changed in the past 15 years since I've probably been on it, and I think that that's probably pretty good. But right now, I'm at a very minimal phase. So I'm going to be putting your audience through an endurance test to see if they even want to hang with the rest of the discussion. And so Godspeed to them for that. But I'm going to start by saying, like, if you're looking for like, you know, Tyler's bud, who's a guru on social media, comes to the right place. Like I'm not an individual who uses it much more than like family, hobbies, friends, and connection. And so that'll kind of be my mantra today, which is like, I don't think I use as much. I try in sparsity to use it to the glory of God every so often for insight or information. But I do use it quite sparsely. So I'm going to use your first question. I'm going to just say this, that I have personally in my life, in my ministry, working with youth, have benefited from a few resources and a few frames of mind. So I'll just tell you this. If you want someone who is educated on the matter and informs on kind of what's going on the underbelly of social media, I would encourage three resources. One is Jeremy Roberts's book, Disconnect: First Century Christians in a 21st Century World. It's a very good book, one that's benefited me and my youth group immensely through the years. Now, I try to look it up. It's actually like only on this. You have to look it up. So, like, you can't Kindle this thing. But I looked it up and found it on onestone.com, One Stone Bible Resources. It's the only place I'm seeing it, but it's a very good Christian-based discussion on using social media and technology in moderation, and I'd encourage that. The other one, I'm a basic dude. Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, was very informative. It's one that's easy to read and be like, ha, these kids today, and then keep scrolling on your own phone. So like, use it as for reflection before you use it to just point fingers at kids, I suppose. The other one I know you've read, Tyler, I'm pretty positive, is John Mark Comer's books. He's got two of them, Practicing the Way, as well as Ruthless Elimination. They're both really good. I've been told by my brother-in-law that they're kind of like used from Dallas Willard's books. But regardless, they don't directly discuss social media, but they talk about unplugging and being more devoted to God in a noisy culture. So I can't recommend those four resources isn't enough. I was going to give some frame of mind, but I didn't want to step in the side if you wanted to mention anything about John Mark Comer's book, especially.
Yeah, no, you do whatever you want to do. Those are really good. Those are good resources for us. And yeah, I appreciate that very much, because I think that we've both kind of had a similar trajectory in terms of social media, because you were there in the days of COVID and when I was in when I was in high school and early college, where I posted just all the time. And on a more serious note, it turned into something to where, and I'm sure you experienced this, you work with youth, you're a youth minister, it did turn into something to where I was constantly looking for likes and constantly checking my phone for likes, for interaction. And so a disconnect was very difficult, and there was a lot of relapse in that, but I've kind of gotten to a point to where I've been able to use it in moderation. And I don't say that to brag at all, but I know a lot of people that are able to just have it on their phone and only get it out when they need to. But but for me, it was more of the comparison, and it was more of just the time saving aspect of it. And we're going to talk about the dangers of it later. But yes, those are some good resources. I've actually read a little bit of Disconnected, and then I think I lost it in my bedroom one time. And so I really want to read the rest of it, but I disconnected. And obviously Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, I read it this, I think it was back in May, and oh man, it's just, I don't think life changing would be too much of an understatement, but really good.
Yeah. It's very convicting. And that's the thing, is like, it's aspirational and how overwhelming and convicting it is. And so I recommend those quite a bit. And before we move forward, I was going to share two of the passages. I think that these are good prompts. Titus 2, 11 through 15 reads, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great and of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is right." And so I really like that passage. It deals kind of in the things I think are good trajectory for like life practice, but also social media and online living. And you see the required hope that's necessary for us, the purity that is necessity for those who follow Jesus, the authority of scripture, and sort of just the fading nature of all things as well. And all those converge in this story or in this text from Paul to a minister, Titus. And I think that that's a good one. And then the other one I have here, which is kind of the go-to, but there's a reason for it, is Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And so, again, like, maybe it doesn't deal directly with social media, but this is Christian living, understanding the days, understanding the cautions and the warnings, but also understanding the hope that we have, and using wisdom in these areas to navigate both the positive and the negative and all of it. So that's my framework. That's answering how I use social media when sending reels to buddies in other states. That's how I use it.
Well, you know, that's the sixth love language is sending reels.
It's number one, I think.
Yeah. It's a very true form of love there. I love those two passages. And I think what Paul says there in Ephesians of making the best use of your time. I've heard that the time is translated as more of like a season mm-hmm. of time. And I think when you think about it like that, using each season of your life, making the best use of that season. is a really helpful for us to think about it. And I think wisdom, we talked about it last week, but wisdom is so connected to all of this. When we think about living a countercultural life, wisdom is big when it comes to how we deal with social media, and how we interact with social media, and how we engage with other people. Wisdom is so big in that. So I kind of want to switch gears here, because we'll talk about the dangers and when we should take a break and all of this good stuff. But a lot of the bad is highlighted on social media, and what's some of the good that you've seen from social media, and maybe what can we learn from that?
Cool. So I would say this. I think these are three important truths that are good in the right when fully adopted or fully understood. And they kind of overlap a little bit. But social media, and again, I'm not saying anything that's novel here, but I think it's important to just for your soul to understand, is that first off, it's like, it is like unavoidable in our culture. It is this inevitable force that's been here for 15, 20 years now, that continues to almost be a beast of sorts in our lives. But it is like, again, even if you choose not to engage with it, there is a, like, you can't avoid it in the sphere of our life. Like, so is that more negative than good? Sure. But it is like an important truth. Like, hey, it is unavoidable. Like, you do have to understand that it's there, that the population of the earth is using it. And so, like, understand that it's unavoidable. And with this, again, another negative, but also freeing lens, is it's not reality. It might be the reality that we're in, but it still isn't reality. It is still an artifice. It is still, this place that exists, that yes, we are all there primarily. We all do engage with, for the most part. And we do have loved ones who have real impact with it. But it isn't real in a real sense. And I think that that's good to understand, and very closely related to that. It for worse, big time, but for better, it is a platform. Like, that's it. It's a platform. It's less than reality. It is a place where you go to find your resources, your people, highly labeling who they stand for and what they are. So if you it's a place that you go to find people of similar vein, or who can help you understand and sift through the culture and the lens that you have and the values you have. Or it's a place that if you do go to the quote unquote other side of individuals you don't agree with, you don't stand for, you're opposed to, like, you only go at best typically to kind of maybe, and the negative is to fight with, but there is a version of, like, you do go knowing, like, so, you know, claws are sort of sharpened a little bit, if nothing else. And so I think that if you understand those three things, that it is this beast we have to tangle with, it isn't real reality, but it is something that we're a part of, and that it is, again, like, it's a very black and white platform where everyone stands for what they are, and it's going to be hard to really understand anything outside of that. I think that that's good. I think that that's freeing, because we understand the terms, we understand the stakes a little bit better. So with that, social media is kind of fun. Like, I don't know, like, that's why I got on it. 14-year-old Andrew, on his first Facebook account when he wasn't allowed to have MySpace, was like, I got on it because my friends were there, and because I wanted to post pictures, and I wanted to rank movies and vote on polls. Like, it is kind of this, like, fun place where culture collides, and we get to, you know, like something that we like, and it's kind of, that's not bad. I mean, it's just life, so, like, that's good. I would say it's good because, if nothing else, there's an educational component that, again, like, once you understand platform, like, you understand I'm going to people of a very specific, this is what they stand for, this is what they represent. There's maybe little nuance, but, like, I go learn, I go and get informed. Information is that, like, itself sometimes negative, it's an endless pit, sure, but, like, you do, like, I've benefited from great podcasts. I've benefited from cool YouTube groups. I've benefited from great articles. I've benefited from knowledge that's maybe too much for the world to be able to comprehend, but there's a lot out there. And it is cool that we get to learn in that sphere and learn about other people and learn more. If nothing else, it is good for communities. It is a good place to connect. Even those who are bigger critics of social media and its place in our world will understand that there are individuals whose circumstances in life, circumstances in personality, circumstances of whatever may not be able to engage with a community around them. And yet we do get to connect with grandma across the nation. We do get to connect with our buddy who moved away a lot easier. We do get to make friends online. Do all these things have inherent negative sides of the coin? Sure, but like that is in a utopic way. Like that is what social media was meant to do, to provide. And I think it does in good lenses. And I'm sure that there's other good things. I mean, again, we talked about the reels, but I think that that's like, it's being a part of a community that maybe you weren't able to beforehand. So
yeah.
Again, if nothing else, it's a good resource.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I educate. It's educational. It's fun, and it allows you to kind of be a part of a community and helps you keep up with others that you may not get to see as often. It's I think you're spot on, and you mentioned that idea of community. We're not saying at all that social media should be your only community or that you should have social media to the exclusion of real in-person community. But when you are a part of that group, it does help you keep up a lot better. Kind of going with that, it's kind of about if you want to rally around a cause or raise awareness to something, maybe it's a fundraiser for somebody who's in need or struggling. Social media can be a great way for us to raise awareness to that. And absolutely. You mentioned fun there at the beginning. I just think of just humor, just funny stuff that we've seen.
Memes are great.
Yeah, yeah. So I think about that, and I think about just little things like the dress from a few years ago that was like, is it gold or is it blue? And it's like, that's just funny. It's just funny. It's just fun.
Yeah. But it weirdly brought everyone together.
Yeah, it did. And you mentioned ranking movies, and for me, I like looking at the football and baseball and golf highlights that are on there. The sports accounts are, in my opinion, top tier, because if there's a game that I didn't watch or there's a highlight from baseball or something, you get to watch it. And so, so there definitely are some positives around it. And it's been really fun. And I think another one would be you get to kind of look back and reminisce on some good times, because people say, and I've said, well, you only post your highlights on social media. And it's like, that's very true. But then you get to look back from 5 years ago, and you get to go look at your highlights from 5 years ago, and you get to remember the good times. I love looking at, hey, QMCC memories or high school or FFA stuff. It's just fun.
Well, it is. And I almost interrupted you there, but it is like that. There is this negative way you can use it, which is we'll discuss here shortly, which is like just making your life look super false and glossy. But it's also just being like, hey, if I treat it just like I would a journal, just like I would a scrapbook, just like I would a photo book, like this is where I am in this time. And it's like, it is mainly positive. And is there a negative side of that? Sure. But that is how I use it now. Like, I use it primarily for that. And I think that there's some validation for that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Beckett highlights are just amazing. especially when he lost Jesus and then he found Jesus. That was just
great episode. It's important for an 18-month-year-old to re-find his savior. It was a sweet moment.
Absolutely. For sure. So let's go ahead and maybe not talk about the negatives, but at least talk about the dangers of social media. Because with anything in this world, too much of it can be harmful or used in the wrong way. Stewarding it in the wrong way can be harmful. So what have you seen, or maybe what have you experienced from social media that can become harmful or dangerous?
Yeah. Well, I like your framing there, which is like not just negative, but it is danger, because that is kind of more the discussion we're having, which is understanding that there is real caution that should be had with it, because we are learning in the last decade or so the negative effects of it, but it is just kind of how we choose to view reality. And so this is the best way I know how to frame it, is like everyone I think knows that there's a stigma around online living and social media. You can be someone who it's being ruled by, and like social media is bombarding your life and you're addicted to it and you're using it for all the negative ways, and yet you're still aware of the fact and you're still critical and skeptical to the fact of social media. You can be someone probably more in conversation with what you had last week, which is the negative hostile community. You can sit there and say like social media is just a cesspool of angry mobs screaming from the deals, and you might be like guilty of the same thing, but you just think that it's giving a voice to everyone else, or that's why you're disenchanted from it and you're off it completely. The point is that there is a stigma around online living and social media that we all know and we're aware of, but it's kind of like being in a bad, I don't know, road traffic structure in a city. It's like you may hate it, but like, what are you going to do? Are you going to like avoid the main highway? And you sort of feel like you're everyone's critical of it, but also like, what can we actually do about it? And the point is like, maybe it is totally to unplug, but there is a way to, I believe, work within the structure that it is. I mean, it's a passage that's often used as a cautionary tale, but I think it can be just as freeing as well. Philippians 4 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of all peace will be with you." And I remember learning this about not just social media, but media consumption as a kid a lot. And it was basically the teen angst, me pushing back at it. Just anytime I heard this passage, it was like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't watch Game of Thrones. Maybe you shouldn't listen to the new Kendrick album. Maybe you shouldn't follow that Twitch guy on, you know, Red Dead Redemption. Maybe you shouldn't follow that influencer or that model. For whatever reason, and it's like those are true. That's a part of the conversation, but it is just as like rewarding as being like, hey, but this is actually this is the toolbox you have to be able to navigate through issues. Like, you do get the opportunity. Maybe you do need to step away from negativity. You need to step away from idolatry. Maybe you do need to step away from gratification. But understand that you also have, like, within these, the things that you get to look at, prioritize, and fixate on. And so hopefully that helps us to understand how we can live in this world, that if it is unavoidable, if it is a false reality, if it is a platform, understand that these, by trusting in and looking to what is true and good and admirable and pure, I think it will help us to navigate the challenging parts. So here's what I would say. Because social media is so prolific, is a part of our lives, and is something that we're part of our lives in large hours of the day, I think we owe it to ourselves to be discerning and to be intentional about how we use our time with this, which is, I'm going to write four themes. I'm just kind of categorizing that these books that I've read would probably do so. Be cautious of your attention. Be cautious of your ingestion, be cautious of your radiation, and lastly, be cautious of your definition. And I'm going to briefly just say this, like, I think we can all be aware that social media and living online, it does often cost us these things. It's our attention, it's our idolatry, it's what we give our time and thought and priority and devotion to. It is 5-6 hours a day, potentially, of scrolling, of being online, of searching, whatever it is. Like, there is no other form of, I don't know how else to describe it, as it does have our attention. It does have our devotion. So be cautious of those things. Ingestion is just kind of that. It's like content and what we choose to digest, what we choose to look on each day. You know, you do at times have to reckon with the fact that social media does lean into inappropriate image, inappropriate searches, harmful things for our mind and soul to ingest once a week, let alone on a daily basis. And it is primed for that pursuit. And so the other one is radiation. And I talked about this earlier. We both did. It's, you know, it's artificial projection. It's just basically like, this is what I'm choosing to show into the world. And it looks like the best version of me. And again, this can come up on outside of social media, but it is just so easy to do in social media, which is, again, the highlight reels, which again, that's not bad. That's how I use it, but it's just looking false. It's looking artificial. It's looking pristine. It's looking at a place that just says, look at me. So what are you choosing to project, to radiate, to demonstrate to the world? Is it false? You do got to be cautious of that. And then the last one I think is important because you hit on it earlier. And I think it brings everything together, is my definition. I think that social media can cost us what we feel like who we are, our value, our worth, comparison, looking to the world around us. And I know that that's a Cliff Notes version of it, but I do view those four areas as kind of trying to take all the negative elements of YouTube, of TikTok, of Snapchat, of Facebook, of Twitch, whatever it is. Like, I think that those four areas are the things that we need to be proactive in, cautious of, and discerning with our time and our resources with.
Yeah. Yeah. You said so much good stuff there. And I think just realizing, I mean, you said this, the fact that this is a very big conversation, a very broad conversation, and trying to kind of zoom in on it a little bit, thinking about the fact that it certainly is something that's not, it should in no way be our real life and should not be the thing that we kind of hang our hat on at the end of the day. And just realizing that what's in person, what I can physically see, the real world around me is so much more important than that, than what we see on social media. And I think you mentioned this, but I think just for one, a time aspect is so big about it, that it does take up a lot of time, like you said, 5 to 6 hours a day. That's, I think that's like the average that people actually spend, which is crazy. Because you sleep, you know, you sleep however many hours a day. You probably don't sleep as much as I'm fortunate to, but I get 8 hours, you know?
Yeah, boy.
No, but you sleep however much. You work for 8 hours a day, and then that time in between, what are we doing with that time? What are we doing for others? What are we doing in service to God? And when we spend that time on things like social media, I'm not talking about like a little 10-minute scroll while we sit on the couch and rest. Not talking about that, but when that's kind of the main thing that we fill our time with, then yeah, like I would say that that's, I don't know if that's making the best use of our time. And then you mentioned Philippians 4 verse 8. That's such a good verse when it comes to social media, because I just think of the negativity. And as you were talking, you mentioned things that are harmful to your soul and to your mind. There have been some times when I've gotten off social media, and I don't know how else to say this, but I just feel gross. Does that make sense? Like, I just feel like I need to just go take a walk outside and pray and open my Bible and just read it, because there was something that I'm like, I didn't want to see that, or I didn't want to read that. I didn't want to hear that because it was just negative or it was inappropriate. Yeah. And I think going along with that, you mentioned this, there's no getting around it. There's a lot of impurity on it. And there's a lot of things that can make it easy for us to lust after people. And it's a shame because, you know, you want to use it for the glory of God. But at the same time, it's like, man, if that's something that's a big deal and that's something that's really an issue in your life, Jesus says, hey, if your right hand is causing you to stumble, throw it out. If it takes deleting it, if it takes stepping away from it for you to get closer to God, then we need to do it because nothing is more important than who we are and how our standing is with God. And I know that's extreme of deleting it, but maybe it's taking it away from your phone, only having it on your computer, that kind of thing. There's a lot of things you could do, but anything you would add to that? Sorry, I kind of rambled there.
No, I think that's great because we wanted to discuss kind of where the limits should be. Where should I have maybe a unplug mindset with it? And so, I mean, that's kind of a question that I think a lot of people have, which is, again, is this an avoidable thing that just has to be in my life? I think that we understand no, even if it's like my ministry or my work is like interlocked with it, like basically where should I take a break from it? And you know, you brought up a good point, which is like, you know, if it's costing your soul, man, like, I don't know, like that's pretty essential. Jesus would frame it that way as well. Are you going to let your right arm take you down? And he's like, no, you would cut it off. So why not do the same with something that, again, feels like it's part of our life? And I bring this up in a way that I think with social media, it's a conversation on grace. It's a conversation of forgiveness, just like all conversations. But my wife is in mental health, working with kids primarily, and she had been asked, multiple times, kind of, you know, not just individually from parents, but also on public forums, like, hey, like, what should we have social media? And her thought was, you know, if she was asked point blank, she said, like, basically, it was like, what are your rules for kids having phones and social media? And she would just say, I don't think your kids should. It's just not good. And that's a hard and fast rule that, again, wasn't taken well when it was asked and when she offered it. But now, especially the last, I'd say, 3 years or so, there's just been a big understanding of its negative impulse, which is to say, like, is this thing that we feel like we can't live without, where every single area of going to a new restaurant requires downloading the app, like we feel like we can't remove from it, like are we capable of separating from something that we feel like is so intrusive in our life? And that's tough and that's hard, especially when you don't want to feel left out, especially when you are used to a certain amount of entertainment, especially when it is a way for you to connect with others. But understanding and prioritizing the fact that I need to dwell upon what is praiseworthy, and oftentimes, as you said before, social media is a place that can be tailored to, even with the best of intentions, a place where you would need to take a shower afterwards because of the hostility and the anger and the sexual gratification there. So how do you find a good place for you to cut it off? Maybe find your limits. One of my favorite books that I read with my youth every couple of years that I think is great is Andy Stanley's Better Questions, Fewer Regrets. It's not about social media at all. It's simply about making wise decisions. And to condense it down to this, his motto is, are you being honest with yourself really? And he says, ask yourself that question every time you're at an impasse, whenever you're making a big decision for yourself, whenever you realize that the decisions you're making have further consequences. And it's a good question, but like he'll go on to ask other questions like, hey, ask yourself whenever you're at an impasse, like based off of my past history, based off of where I wanted to get to in life, and based off of where I am right now, what's best and what's wise for me? He'll ask questions like, you should ask yourself, like, what kind of life story do I want my life to tell? So that's a lot of way of saying this. Like, those are good ways to think about this, but it comes down to this, is are you being honest with you? Because at the end of the day, no one else is really capable of it fully. You are the only person who understands where you are. If your challenges are, if you're on the brink of overspending, of you are addicted to spending, a very real theme that's easy to make light of, but it's very genuine and real. And you can't hold back on purchasing something on Amazon again. Like be the only person who can be honest with you is you or your bank account. At the end of the day, one of the two is going to be honest with you. Honesty for you is, hey, man, like I like doom scrolling. I'm here. As we've said before, it's fun. It's nice, but it is tailor made to keep your attention at all times. And am I addicted to it to a point where I just like, I can't get off it or anywhere else? Are you stuck on sexual gratification, not just pornography addiction, but sexual gratification in all of its forms? Like only you can be like honest with yourself. Nowadays, like betting on sports is all the rage. How far is too far? And some of that is a question of honesty and some of that question of wisdom. Because if you don't care about your attention, about your ingestion, about your radiation, about your definition, no one's going to like force you to make these decisions yourself. But if you understand that, hey, I am made to glorify God with my time, with my efforts, with my heart, with my soul, then you have to be honest with you and say like, hey, am I getting too close to the edge? And again, that's sort of one of those cliche phrases, like, am I getting too close? But it is an answer only you can answer if you're willing to be honest with yourself truly. Holy, 100%. Know yourself, know your past, know your struggles, know your addictions to scrolling. Know just sometimes it is, if nothing else, social media is a little empty and hollow and hopeless. And if you're feeling that depressive nature, only you can be honest with yourself. So that's me pleading the fifth and saying whenever it comes to pulling the plug temporarily, getting off a specific social media app, whether it means just, again, maybe just in moderation and chilling it a little bit, like only you can answer that. You can get help, you can get accountability partners, but there comes a point where you have to be the one between you and God. Say, I'm going to be honest with myself and say, is it time to just, even if temporarily, dial it back just a little bit?